sharp on Tuesday morning, Sefer Mitzvot number 208, proper weighing.
Okay, this is not a Weight Watchers discussion. Sometimes it's hard to know how to translate into English, especially when the mitzvah is
Midot, is
hard to define. It could be measurements, it could be... I'll tell you what it really is business ethics. Mm-hmm. The question is, as we deal with many times, how narrowly or how broadly to look at a mitzvah.
Okay.
And then here, we see some really, really fascinating technical issues that yield sort of deeper understandings. I mean, we often ask ourselves the question that mitzvahs seem to overlap. You know, there'll be a prohibition. Take a good example. There's a prohibition on theft. Okay, lo tignov, lo tigzol. Right, these are Torah prohibitions. Mm-hmm. So then you might ask yourself, wait, isn't improper weighing? Let's say you have a store, and people come to you. You have a herring store, and you know, basically, you know, you sell herring for, I don't know, 100 shekel. A half kilo. I'm just making it up. Okay? So one of the ways you could cheat your customers is for your scale not to be calibrated properly. And so they think that they're paying for a half kilo, but they're really only getting, you know, 80, yeah, they're really only getting 4/5 of a half kilo. Mm-hmm. So you ask me, I would say, well, that's theft. That's a prohibition, lo tigzol, that's a prohibition, lo tignov. Why do I need a special, you know, a special section of the Torah that talks about, I think, you know, that's a fundamental question that we have many times, which is why do you need, isn't it covered by a more general prohibition? Why do you need a more specific one? One second. So often the answer is, I don't know, lavar alav bishnei lavim, right? We want to make it even more severe, so we have an additional prohibition. But sometimes there really is something different about this particular prohibition, and that's what I want to talk about today.
Just introducing Yitzhak, new member to Efrat, to our share, Eli Weber.
Okay.
And one could be maybe in the act of theft, which is no good. One could be
we didn't even start yet. Just wait.
I'm wondering if having the weights in itself.
Okay, we didn't
problem.
Even start yet. Well, obviously that has to be part of the theory.
Well,
but let's
the act. I mean,
let's start. The psukim say as follows. Okay. In Vayikra, Perek Yud Tes, starting with Pasuk Lamed Hey, Lo Ta'asu Avel Bamishpat. Okay, don't do an Avel in judgment. What's how would you translate Avel?
Injustice,
wrong judgment.
Well, it's even stronger. It's like a moral, like a form, like a moral bankruptcy. It's not just that I'm doing it. I give it injustice isn't a bad word, but it's like an Avla, something that's like morally corrupt. Okay, but injustice is not a bad translation. I don't have a better one. Lo tasu avo bamishpat. Let's say, don't do injustice in judging. Bamida, don't eat them. Bamida, bamishkal uva. If Bruce offers it to you, that means it's celebrating
the
second anniversary someplace.
Okay.
Bamida, bamishkal uva misura. These are hard words to translate. Mida is literally measurement.
Right.
So that'd be like the area of something. If you're selling something, you're selling carpeting by the meter, so you have to measure it properly. Bamishkal is the weight. That's like my herring example. Uva misura is not so clear. It's certainly like minor calibrations. It's really like very, very small technical measurements. Okay. Now, that's a lo ta'ase. Whenever you see lo ta'asu. So, not surprising, you're looking to say from it, since it's a prohibition to measure improperly. But then we do mitzvot aseis. La mitzvah is the flip side, is the mitzvot asei. And again, it's not unusual to have a prohibition. And rather than not just doing the prohibition, there is a positive obligation to mosne tzedek, avne tzedek, eifat tzedek, vehin tzedek yelachem. Okay, again, each of these is very difficult to translate. We'll see later on. Mosne tzedek, you know, probably weights. Avne tzedek, some of them have to do with liquid measurements. Some of them have to do with solid measurements. Some of them have to do with heated ones, okay? All of them should be vehin tzedek yelachem. All your forms of measuring, whether by area or weight or liquids or solids, have to be correct. And then you have a good phrase, which you don't, you know, every time you see it, you have to ask yourself why. Why specifically here? The pasuk could have said, Moshe tzedek, Avi tzedek, Eifa tzedek, V'hin tzedek, Yelachem, period. Instead it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher hotzeiti etchem me'aretz Mitzrayim. Okay? All these things have been correctly. I am the God who took you out of Mitzrayim.
Why does that have to be, go into every mention?
It doesn't have to go into everyone. The question is, why does it go into certain ones and not others? So Rashi right here says as follows.
Yeah.
And number two, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher hotzeiti etchem. Very interesting thing. Al minat kein. God says, I took you out of Mitzrayim on condition that you have proper measurings. Now, you know, that seems like a very, very particular, narrow, why did God take me out of Mitzrayim? To keep Shabbos, okay? To observe Pesach. God took me out of Mitzrayim in order so that when I have a business, I should measure properly? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in fact, I think you would like that one. A person with a moral core.
Yeah, it's a heavy load for being taken out of Mitzrayim.
Okay, but it bumps up. But it bumps up in importance. Let's put it this way: it makes what you and I might normally think of as regular. Let's call it regular extra religious ethics. Like people should just be good. People should be fair. People should deal properly in business. No, the drasha is God says, "I took you out of Mitzrayim." So that you should deal justly in business. That's a huge statement. Okay? But now there's another drasha, which is stranger. Davar acher, when source number two in the Rashi, tried to answer the question of why with respect to weight, to proper weights and measurements, does it say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeiti Etchem Me'aretz Mitzrayim? Second answer. Ani. What? No, but the question is, why does the Torah sometimes say next to a mitzvah, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and oftentimes, most times, it doesn't? So the drasha is, the first drasha is Al Menat Kein. No, I took you out of Mitzrayim so that you should deal honestly in business. Which again makes honesty in business not just some kind of universal value that of course Jews adopt, but makes it a core Jewish principle, which I think changes the equation for some of us. Okay? The second one is Davar Acher. Ani hivchanti b'mitzrayim bein tipa shel b'chor l'tipa she'eino shel b'chor, meaning God distinguished in Egypt between the drop that made you a firstborn and therefore dead, and the drop that came second that made you not firstborn. And presumably that's seen as a metaphor for being able to distinguish in tiny measurements. Va'ani hane'eman, I am the same God who is trustworthy, lehipara mimi shetomein mishkelotav b'melach, lehonot et habriot she'ein makirim bohem. I will similarly be trustworthy to punish a person. Shetomein mishkalotav b'melach means literally, right? The way people used to weigh is they didn't have fancy scales, they didn't have digital scales. You had, a block. This block was listed as being, 1 pound.
Yeah.
Well, if you dip that block, which is really a pound, into salt, it holds on to more, so now the block weighs more than a pound. It's a way to cheat. So the second drasha is God. God who was able to distinguish in tiny, tiny measurements in Mitzrayim between a bechor and a not a bechor. That same God will able to be able to distinguish and punish you for a small cheating in measurement. Meaning, you didn't lie. The block really is a pound, but you dumped it in water and in salt so that stuff sticks to it, so it weighs more than a pound. God will punish you for that. Okay. Straightforward. Now, the Rambam counts this as a mitzvah aseh. Let's see if we can't try to understand what the mitzvah is. Right now, what would you say the mitzvah is? Right, but that's not fair. I mean, you're expanding it way beyond. If I want a narrow halachic definition from a pasuk, is it's a mitzvah relating to measurements.
Yeah.
Right? Now, is the mitzvah to measure properly? Right, meaning a customer comes to you And now each time the customer, you wait, whatever. Or is the mitzvah to have weights that are properly calibrated, unrelated to the fact? Now, obviously, you'll use the calibrated weight when you deal with customers, but it might be unrelated to the customer itself or himself. So let's look at the Rambam, see if we can figure it out. Source number three, the Rambam, Mitzvah Taseh Reish Chet 208, V'Hamitzvah Reish Chet Hishetzivanu L'Tzadeh Kapeles V'Hamoznaim V'Hamishkalot V'Hamidot U'Lehaflig B'Tzimtzum. The Rambam says, the way I read it, the mitzvah is to perfectly calibrate your weights and measurements. Lehaflig means to exaggerate b'tzimtzum in the exact calculation. So it sounds to me, at least in the first line, that for them the mitzvah is having, not doing. Right? The mitzvah is to make sure that your weights are precise. Now again, Mr. Weiser's point is a fair point. Like, if you're the owner of Curives, which apparently is pronounced curves. Okay, it used to be a gym, like in Afra, for women.
It's pronounced Curives?
I like to say Curives in Hebrew. Honestly, it's not.
Okay. A little French.
Yeah.
I like, for example, when I go to the men's room in a restaurant, I like to think of it as a saying Gibo-rim. Okay. I like to mispronounce Hebrew words. It makes me feel like, you know, I'm going
big
to
man.
The Kibo Rim Room.
Big man, yeah.
Okay, so let's say another gym. Let's say in the gym, they cheated and they made you, you know, the weight says 5 pounds. Okay. But they're just making you feel good. Really, it's only 4 pounds. And they go, what's the difference? We just want to make you feel like, you know, you're Mr. Universe. Same issue or not? Right? They're cheating in the gym. What do you think? Same issue or not? I think not. I think there must be something to the business context. There must be something to the fact that there's a victim. Although, again, when you read the Rama, maybe he thinks every single... You know, you want to make your wife feel good. So you play with the scale. So that, you know... When I was a kid... Now you don't have these anymore. I don't know how you play with a digital scale. When I was a kid, my parents' house had, like, you know, the thing... Yeah. When you stepped on it, so you could move that thing to a negative number, so that when you stepped on it, it didn't start at zero. So when you stepped on it, you gained those. You know, it's not clear that that's it's not clear that that's part of this mitzvah, huh?
Digital now.
Well, you see, you can't do it with digital. I don't think.
When bakers get what's called a baker's dozen, which is really 13, let's say. Due to the public peer pressure of trying to get business,
right?
Is there any theft in that by the public?
No, absolutely not.
I mean, so again, it's perfectly appropriate to give more than the measure.
Yeah, I think so.
So there's no theft against the business owner.
No, he's doing it. You can't steal from yourself. You're making a business decision. Same thing. Is it possibly a problem in saying buy 12, get a 13 free? Of course not.
Okay.
It's both an aseh and a lo taseh, although they may not be the exact opposites of each other. So let's see, second line. V'amaro yitela, that's what the pasuk says. Mosnei tzedek, avnei tzedek, eifat tzedek, v'hin tzedek yelachem. V'lashon sifra, the sifra tries to explain, mosnei tzedek, tzadek et hamosnayim yafeh yafeh. What does it mean, mosnei tzedek? It means calibrate the scales perfectly. Avnei tzedek, tzedek et hamishkalot yafeh yafeh, make the weights exactly perfect. Eifa tzedek, tzedek et haifa yafeh, vehin tzedek, tzedek et hahin yafeh. Ukfa yodata, now he says, and everybody knows, although we don't, shaha eifa midat hayavesh. When they use the word eifa, that means measuring dry things. Vehahin midat halach, it's an ounce, it's a, what are they called in metric? Huh?
He's talking about a measurement.
Grams?
George.
Maybe.
What?
It must be a volume. The hin and the eifah is talking about a volume. Because you've done your weights already. So you go to the shuk.
I'm not sure. What's the volume? You do liquids in volume?
Yeah, you fill up a liter.
Okay, fine. Okay, good. Ve'ela kulam inyanam echad ve'im nishtanu minei ashiurim. It's all one idea. There are different types of ways you go around weighing, but it's all one idea. Ki zeh hadavar sheyishkal o sheyimod Amnam hu shiur erech min arachim ve'elu haminim kulam rotzel lomar ha'peles v'amoznaim v'shira ha'yavesh v'shira alach yikru mido. There are different, basically he says, there are different words for each of the types of ways that a person can weigh or measure or volume or whatever you do it, but it's all the same idea. It's all the same idea, and if you go down to the third to last line, towards the end of the line, he says, V'lashon sifra, the sifra says, the one that Rashi quoted, al tenai kach hotzeiti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim. On this condition, I took you out of Egypt. On which condition? Al tenai shetekablu aleichem mitzvat midot. On condition that you accept upon yourselves the mitzvah of exact measurements, shekol hamodeh b'mitzvat midot, a person who acknowledges or accepts upon himself the obligation to measure accurately, modeh b'yitziat Mitzrayim, such a person will acknowledge that God took us out of Egypt. V'chol ha-kofer b'mitzvat midot kofer b'yitziat Mitzrayim. That's a fascinating thing, right? A person who is unwilling or unable to measure precisely, such a person will be unwilling or unable to acknowledge that God took us out of Egypt. The question is, why would that be? Okay, that's a very strong statement, and it appears in a number of places, that there's a connection, and it's not an artificial connection. There's a connection between measuring accurately and acknowledging the obligation to measure accurately and acknowledging that God took us out of Egypt. Yeah.
The forefathers who didn't go out of Egypt. I mean, I know that's not literal.
Like, you're saying we didn't measure them.
Well, I'm just wondering if all of them had something like the, you know, because
I don't want to make too much out of it. There's such a medrash.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what to do with it, but what would it have to do, unless you could connect it to this idea?
Yeah. All right.
The best I can do, and it's not great, is to say that a person who cheats in private, and presumably that's what such a person would be, right? A person who cheats in private doesn't believe that God sees all, right? Okay. And so such a person doesn't believe that God is involved in the running of the world. He believes there's a God. There's all kinds of levels of belief and rejection of God, right? In our tradition, there's a level of people who say, we believe that God created the world, but then he left it completely to man and he doesn't intervene. So the best I could come up with is a person who thinks, okay, God doesn't see what I do in private, so therefore I can cheat.
Okay. Yeah.
And such a person doesn't really accept or can't accept that God took us out of Egypt. Because for God to take us out of Egypt means God knows and intervenes. And the statement of I cheated on my scales means God doesn't know and God doesn't intervene, because if he did, I wouldn't do this. Okay? It's not the most compelling explanation. But
could it be a metaphor?
I don't want to make it a metaphor, because I think when Chazal says
it doesn't seem to make too much sense.
Okay, so I'm saying, but even if it was a metaphor, which I'd rather not say it is, you still have to ask yourself, why does the Torah use this metaphor in 5 places and not in 600 places? Right? That's still the question. And each time, one thing is for sure. If it's a metaphor, it's a metaphor that comes to emphasize the importance, right, of honesty in business. And I think that's a big deal.
These people were slaves, they weren't in business, they didn't know from business.
No, of course not in Mitzrayim. But I'm saying the idea, once you say that God took us out of Egypt in order so that we should deal honestly in business, right, you're changing honesty in business from being, again, some universal value to being a very core religious value. And that, you know, God can do that. He can take something that you would say, I wouldn't do it, right? You know, honoring your parents. So that's a pretty universal value. That's a bad person who doesn't think he should honor his parents. But by making it one of the mitzvahs HaTorah, God has also made it a religious value. And he's basically taken, you know, for the people who say, we don't acknowledge, we don't need to share in universal values, my world is the Torah world, God's saying, well, if you thought that you'd be able to be dishonest in business because it's not a pasuk in the Torah, the answer is, it is a pasuk in the Torah, and it's a pasuk in the Torah that's connected to Yitziat Mitzrayim.
You're a Baal Kore, I don't know for sure, but I think the weights and measures...
You don't know for sure if I'm a Baal Kore?
No, about the part where it's mentioned in the Torah about honest weights and measures.
Yes.
And then right after, I think it has a Malak. As if you're not honest...
Okay, it's not a drasha. We don't need a Malak, we have Yetzias Mitzrayim. Meaning...
But the thing is, God doesn't punish you every time you do something wrong.
Correct.
When it comes, when you pass away... You come up there, that's what he punishes you.
Right, yeah. But here he's saying, just know that I'm keeping score.
Right.
Now,
let's... There's a board that asks, as you show up upstairs, to just like you said.
That's right.
Now, first question is, now about your business practice.
Right, absolutely.
That's right.
As Mr. Wise said, Nasata v'nasata be'emuna. Did you deal honestly in business? Okay, let's just get the Rambam. In the Yad HaChazaka, source number 4, the Rambam Hilchos Geneva, Perek Chet Halacha Aleph, says as follows: Mitzvat Asei Litzadeh Moznayim. Right, there is a positive commandment to calibrate Moznayim VaHamishkalot VaHamidot, all the ways that you measure and weigh Yafeh precisely, Uledakdek BeChesbonan B'Sha'at Asiyatam, and to be very, very careful when you make them, to make sure that the weights are accurate. Shenemar ar pasuk mozne tzedek avne tzedek efa tzedek vehin tzedek yelachem. V'chein b'midat hakarka, says the Rambam, it's not in the pasuk, but the same thing when you're selling property. Tzarich ledakdek b'cheshbon mishichat hakarka al pi ha'ikarim hamitba'arim b'kitvei hagimatriot. You have to use precise math when you're measuring a field. There are specific rules about how you round up or down with respect to, you know, the width of a finger for a field. It means you have to be very precise. Okay? Now, the Rambam Shita seems very clear. The question is whether the Rambam would agree with the next statement in number 5, the Sefer HaChinuch and Mitzvah Reish Nun Ches. The Sefer HaChinuch says, interestingly, V'lamadnu mikan, we learn from here, ki haTorah hikpida al hamidot b'kol shehu. The Torah was makbid, was, what's the better word? How do you translate that word?
Careful.
Okay, demanded us to be careful on a mashehu, meaning not on a pound, not on a half a pound, but in any amount. Kilomar. And here's the point. She'af al pi shebishar gizelot lo hikpid lo takpid haTorah ela bipruta, with respect to regular monetary damages or theft, the Torah only cares about a pruta, right? You know, a shekel, a half a shekel, 10 agurot. There is a minimum amount below which the Torah doesn't consider that which you did to be theft, but. Be'inyan hamidot takpid b'kol shehu. But with respect to measuring, any deviation from the precise measurement is a violation of Torah law. Now, what's the chinuch doing? It's a huge chiddush. What's the chinuch doing here? He's answering a question.
Why it's not including gezeilah?
Exactly. The chinuch is answering the question: is wait, what is any? Why is this a separate mitzvah in the Torah? We already commanded not to steal. So says the Sefer HaChinuch. Says the Sefer HaChinuch. No, the prohibition on stealing is in a minimum amount. Right? You can't steal. I don't know. You can't steal a feather. I'm just trying to think something that.
Why not?
Because the Torah doesn't enforce. Oh. Morally,
you have to have like a shaveh pruta to be considered gezel.
Correct.
You're going into the grocery store and you take a little piece of an open, like a nut or something that's there in those.
Okay, so for right, so the Torah would say Bezdin cannot enforce. Bezdin cannot give you makos.
For example.
Sounds like you're speaking from experience, but that example came to you so easily. Just okay.
Slapping my kids' hands when they're doing that.
Okay, but that's fascinating, because now the chinuch is answering, right, our question was, wait, isn't this just a subset of theft? Says the chinuch, it's absolutely not a subset of theft. Mm-hmm. How do I know? Because theft only starts at a pruta, and in this case, the chinuch says it's any amount.
So it's something about the measuring.
Wait, okay, so wait, just do one more, just to see. The Minchas Chinuch is going to say this is nonsense. Look at number 6. The Minchas Chinuch says, Davar ze chidush hu. You have to understand, we use the word chidush to mean like, wow, that's like a brilliant original thought. But sometimes when Achronim write it, when they say it's a chidush, they mean to insult it, meaning you have no source for this, right? It's a chidushu. Ve'eino mivuar barambam. Ubishas. He says, you don't find it in the Rambam, you don't find it in any Gemara. Vigabe gineva u gizela, with respect to theft, kasava, again, gineva is, it's better the other way. Gizela is armed robbery. Gineva is robbery that's not armed robbery. It's, you know, sneaking into someone's house in the middle of the night. So says the Minchas Chinuch, with respect to both of those, kasav harambam, the hagozel shave pruta over below tase. It's only if you stole, again, a shekel worth. It's easier in English. In America, you just say a penny's worth because there's nothing below a penny. So if
ten
you.
Agulot.
Huh?
10 agulot.
Because no coin.
It's a
penny. Well, what would it be in England now? They probably devalued again this morning. Your currency's worthless. Okay. The Hagozel Shavar. Just happened.
The system's changed.
The Hagozel Shavar Pruta over below Tase. V'chein perak alf milchus gineva. V'chein gzeras hakos of gabe mamon. Ki shiurim halach lemoshe misinai. Tzarich shihe Shavar Pruta. We have a general rule that all measurements, all things that you measure, like a kizayis, a kibetza, a shavapruta, that's all halachal Moshe Sinai. You never find it written any place in the Torah. What I'm saying is that Moshe came down from our Sinai and said, when the Torah says don't steal, it means more than a shavapruta. And when the Torah says don't eat basa b'chalav, it means in the size of a kizayis. So when the Torah says, okay? Upachot mizeh, Eino ela chatzi shir, less than a pruta, he says, that's kind of an ethical rabbinic level of chatzi shir, meaning stealing a nut is still prohibited rabbinically. It's just not the biblical prohibition of theft. Okay? So just to review, the chinuch says that the chidush of the mitzvah of weighing properly is that it's an exception to the general rule that you're only in violation if you did it by some measurable amount. In this case, you're in violation even if you did it less than a pruta, right? The Minchas Chinuch says, wow, that's quite a chiddush. And by that I mean, you made it up. Because we don't find it any place. We don't find it in the Gemara, we don't find it in the Rambam. Except, it turns out it's not so simple. Because we kind of do find it in the Rambam. Well, you know what, but even before that, the question is, let's assume that the Sefer HaChinuch is correct. Let's assume that the prohibition, the mitzvah of calibrating your weights and your scales is, you know, to the nth degree. And if you deviated by some amount, you'd be in violation. If it's not theft, if the Torah has already told us that less than a pruta is not theft, then what is this? Why would the standard, let's just ask the question, why would the standard be so much higher with respect to weights than it would be with respect to, right? If you took a nut, and that's not a Torah prohibition, then why would this, you know, that nut weighs 0.000 whatever, right? How could putting that on a scale be a Torah prohibition, but just taking it and putting it in your mouth not be? We need a theory that would explain this. Do you have a theory, or you just want to say something?
No, maybe the act of quantifying the action, that quantification, that putting it into a form, has to be very precise.
Okay.
As opposed to...
Because
we have a specific mitzvah to have honest weights and measures, which seems to demand precision.
Okay.
In the instrument itself.
Right. But the question is, what's different in me, the person, from taking the nut and measuring the nut? And the answer is there is a difference. And now, look at number 7. Flip over.
One is the consumer and one is the seller.
It's true. Look at number 7. Rashi is going to quote a sifra. It's a famous sifra, and this, I think, will start to put us in the right direction. Our pasuk says, Lo tasu avol b'mishpat. So the sifra says, in ledin, wait, if you're just talking about judging, right, Lo tasu avol b'mishpat literally means don't do injustice in judging. But then it says, you know, it's clear it's not talking about a court because it's talking about measurements. But technically, it sounds like it's a court. So this is Im Ledin, if it's talking about a court, Harei Kfar Nemar Lo Tasu Avol B'Mishpat. There's another pasuk in the same parak talking about judges. It says judges should not do injustice. Umahu Mishpat Hashanui Kan. So then what is the Mishpat in which this pasuk is referring to? Answers the Sifra, Hu Hamida V'Hamishkal V'Hamesura. No, this Mishpat is talking about weighing, not judging. Look at this. Milamed Shehamoded Nikra Dayan. It teaches us that the person who weighs, or the person who's in charge of weighing, is not doing business. He's considered to be he's held to a different standard. He's a judge. Okay, I'll explain what I think in a second. Lamed sham modeid nikra dayan. Sheim shiker b'mida, because if he lied about the measurements, or he cheats on measurements, harehu kimikalkel et hadin. It's like he's undermining or ruining the process of justice, the whole entire court system. Vikarui Avel, he's called immoral, sanui, hated, mishukats, disgusting, chayim v'toiva, he should be kicked out. And then the Medrash continues. Vigoreim l'chamisha dvarim ha'amurim bidayan. And a person who doesn't weigh properly causes the five terrible things that are can be caused by a dishonest judge. Mitameya ta'aretz, he defiles the land. Umechalelat Hashem, he desecrates God's name. Umesalekesh tashchina, he causes the divine presence to leave us. Umapilat Yisrael becharav, he causes death to Jewish people. Umegaleh otam eretzam, and he causes the exile. All kinds of terrible things. Okay, what's going on here? I'll tell you what I think. When you take a peanut, okay, it's an individual act. It might be immoral, you're supposed to pay for a peanut, but the Torah says in terms of enforcing things, you know, it's just too hard to enforce for a peanut, so anything that's less than a pruta, we're going to let go. But when you're a judge, the whole system is at stake. You don't measure it by the outcome, you don't measure it by is it a pruta or not, you measure it by their intent. If judges act dishonestly, it doesn't matter if they act dishonestly with respect with less than a pruta, right? We would lose confidence in the system as a whole, right? If the economy is based on the accuracy of weights and measures, we don't live in a world where that's really true, but if everything you bought and sold in the old days had to be measured, you know, by area, by weight, by, you know, whatever it was, then if you didn't have absolute confidence that the scales were correct, you would be undermining the entire system. You'd be undermining the entire economy. So, according to the Sefer Achinuch says, the comparison to something as small as theft is incorrect. This is not an issue of theft. Everybody understands that stealing is bad. Everybody understands that stealing $1 million is worse than stealing a peanut. Okay, and you know, and in fact, in secular courts, I think, based on the size of your crime, they can punish you more, they can punish you less. Like the definition in America for like misdemeanors and felonies has to do with the amount that you stole. Right?
And they have the same concept of pruta.
Okay. They do have such a thing. But if you went to a court system and they told you, listen, these guys are not 100% honest, but it's just in the margins. You know, they don't really cheat in big numbers, they cheat in small numbers. You would lose confidence in the court system. And if you went to the shuk and you couldn't trust that the person running the shuk is enforcing the fact that all right, so what the Sifra does is say, you've misunderstood this mitzvah. You thought this was a little mitzvah of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro that I can't cheat. And the Sifra says, no, it's nothing to do with cheating you. It has to do with the honesty of the economic system. And the Torah is saying, and this is what I really think the halacha is. You know, can you really calibrate anything, even nowadays, but in the old days, to precise? No, of course not.
This
you have to try.
It becomes metaphoric. Because you're measuring your income when you pay income tax. And there are various ways to measure your income, honestly or somewhat dishonestly.
Right.
So you may be cheating the government. I don't know if that's a big sin, But people, very honest people will engage
okay.
in it.
Okay. But you're making it into a metaphor, not me. Meaning
well, I see it becoming metaphoric.
But why is that the metaphor? Maybe it's real.
Because it has no... Has more than to do with just
so I'll tell
weighing
you
something.
So I don't like your metaphor, but I'll deal with it because I have respect for you. Okay? Here's the thing. In America, I don't know what it is like in Israel, but in America, when you make a mistake on your taxes, they really come down hard on you. They really come down hard on
they
you.
They don't.
Much more so than in other areas of the law. Why? Because they need people to pay taxes. And it undermines the entire system. You know, if X cheats Y in a business deal, okay, maybe he goes to jail, maybe he doesn't. But if you don't pay your taxes, or if you cheat the government on your taxes, right? I think white-collar crime, in theory, is punishable at much greater levels than actual stealing, right? You know, Bernie Madoff was a challenge to the entire system, and he's serving, you know, 127 consecutive life sentences, which is, you know, more than mass murderers and rapists and whatever, right? Because we don't really think of murder in modern times. We don't think of murder and rape as being challenges to the whole system. We think of them as being vile individual acts, and they should be punished, right? But God forbid if I can't be sure that my 401k money is safe, now I can't sleep at night, right? People generally don't wake up in the middle of the night because they're worried about being assaulted. They worry that they, you know, that all their money that they invested someplace. So I think what the Torah is saying, and you can tell me that it's a metaphor, but I think what the Torah is saying is, this is a challenge to the system, right? God took us out of Egypt to set up a trustworthy, honest system where people could rely on each other. Imagine, you know, now I'll do metaphorically. Imagine if every time you went into a store, you trusted the guy who was selling something to you. Okay, it costs what it costs. He's entitled to a markup. You know, everybody's entitled to a markup. He's not lying to you. He paid X for it. He's now charging you 20% above what he paid because that's the way it works, right? You'd have some idea. It's like when I go to a sporting goods store, I shop confidently. Like, I have some idea of what things should cost. If I have to buy jewelry, right, like I feel like a complete idiot because I know to myself that this thing could probably cost either $10 or $10 million, and I wouldn't know the difference. Because I don't know the difference between cubic zirconium, a prize I won many times in my younger days, okay, and actual jewels. So I'm saying, when you go back to the Mitzrayim thing, if you want to make it metaphorically, God took us out of Egypt. Why? And I bet if you looked at it, if I word searched it, I could find most of the other examples, to build a moral society. And a moral society starts with trusting people in business. But again, here it's not trusting people in business because that's the rule in business. It's because they're judges. Because they took upon themselves to be overseers of, you know, when you open a store, you've accepted upon yourself responsibility for living by, you know, proper weights and measures. And what this does, interestingly, this idea, what it does is change it from a Beinam L'Chaveiro to a Beinam L'Makom. Because the mitzvah now is, and this is really fascinating, the mitzvah now is not that I measure properly when you come into my store. The mitzvah was when I set up my weights to begin with, at the beginning of the day when nobody was in my store. That's the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah bein olam lamakom. Now, we saw the Minchas Chinuch said to the Sefer HaChinuch, you made this thing up, that pachos b'shel v'pruta. Again, even though I think what the Sefer HaChinuch said fits beautifully in with this sifra, that it's not to do with measure, it has to do with an honest system. But I just want to point out to you, the Rambam seems to agree with this idea. Look at number 8, the Rambam Hilchos Geneva, Perek Zayin Halacha Ches says, Echad ha-nosei v'notein im Yisrael o im ha-goy, a person who does business with a Jew or a Gentile, and not just any Gentile, but goy oved avodah zarah, that would be, you know, like bad Gentiles, im madad o shakal bechoser, if he didn't weigh properly, over below tase v'chayav lahachzir. Okay, he is in violation of a lo tase because he didn't weigh properly, and he has to give the money back. V'chein asur lahatot et hagoy b'cheshbon, you can't trick a Gentile with respect to the measuring, Eli Yudakdekimo. You have to be very careful with him and do it proper, accurately. Even though he's under your rule, meaning he's a second class citizen in your country that you rule, you still have to deal with him honestly. How much more so, let's say, with Ram lived in Egypt, where Jews were second class citizens, not Gentiles. God thinks that this is a vile act to do under any circumstances. Now, it happens to be that the Rambam thinks that you're not technically in violation of Lo Tigzol for a guy. Okay? There's Drabanan prohibitions, what have you. So a lot of people point to this Rambam to say, you see here that for the Rambam, measuring is not obeina, is not the same as theft. Because theft might not be prohibited biblically for Gentiles. But this is something different. This is the system at stake. You can't have a system in which you weigh differently for one person than for another person. Okay? And the Rambam here doesn't say anything about a pruta or less than a pruta or more than a pruta, which sounds like it could be support for the Sefer Achinuch's view that less than a pruta, you're still in violation of measuring improperly, because again, it's a challenge to the system. It's not a question of theft. So basically, there are two ways to look at the mitzvah. One is, it is a subset of theft. It only applies more than a pruta. Why does it have to say it when it's already otherwise prohibited? I don't know, to make it a bigger prohibition. The more interesting way to look at it, I think, is it's not a subset of theft at all. It's part of judging. And judges are held to the highest standard. Again, not because the judge can't make a mistake, but because a judge has to do his best to judge things precisely and accurately. And if he's just going to say, well, I don't care enough to look at it that way, people will lose confidence in the system.
So what you're saying is the Minchas Chinuch says this is a kind of gezel.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore we have to measure it like any kind of gezel.
Agreed completely.
And
there are others.
The Sefer Chinuch is saying, and the Rambam appeared to say, this is not gezel.
Agreed. It's completely different. It's related, but it's completely different. It's much closer to judging. But in which case, Lemaisa, the Minchas Chinuch, I think, would say, it's hard to know, but my guess is he would say, if you have improper scales, but you never use them, maybe you're not in violation. But the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch would say, no. If you have improper scales, you're in violation, even though you're in violation because you violated the rule vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if you never use them in your business. Okay, now, that's for the narrow halacha. But of course, this conversation also just gets into what you would call the metaphor, but the broader concept of honesty in business or honesty in general. One of them is the drasha on our pasuk, right? Mosne tzedek, avne tzedek, v'hin tzedek. Look at number 9. It's a gemara in Bava Metzia, Mem Tesla, Mem Beis. I just quoted from the Torah Tzmim because I was lazy this morning in putting the sheet together. You know, I don't just get these sheets off the internet. So, ma Talmud lomar v'hin tzedek. What does it mean, v'hin tzedek? So the drasha is as follows. This is a drasha, not what the pasuk really means. V'alohin b'chlal eifat tzedek hi. Isn't that just another form of another measurement? Ela lomar lecha shehei hein shelcha tzedek velav shelcha tzedek. Hin, the play on words is hin is hein. Hein is yes in Aramaic.
It is a measurement.
So it means basically to be honest. When you say yes, you have to mean yes. And when you say no, you have to mean no. Now the question is that really a din? Right? Is that really a din, and how does it play out practically? So look at number 10. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos is a fascinating Rambam. It says as follows. Looks like a word dropped. I'm not sure. Okay, no, it's fine. Masa'o umatano shel tamid chacham be'emet u'be'emunah. The business dealings and the interactions of a Talmud Chacham with other people should be truthful and honest. Omer alav lav v'al hein hein. He says about no, and yes. Midakdek al atzmo b'cheshbon. Right, he's very careful with his own countings. V'notein u'mevater la'acherim kishiyikach mehem. V'lo yidakdek alehem. with respect to what's owed to him, he's very careful. I'm sorry, with respect to what he owes, he's very careful. With respect to what's owed to him, he's less careful. End of the second line. V'notein d'mei ha-mekach la'alter. He pays in cash immediately. V'eino na'aseh lo arei v'lo kablon v'lo yavo b'harsha'a. He doesn't do it via an IOU or via a third party. Okay, he's just describing like the highest level of honesty. Mechayev atzmo b'divrei mekach u'memka b'makom shelo chiva oto Torah. He obligates himself even when the Torah doesn't obligate him. So that he always stands by his word, even if technically speaking, right, his word wasn't meant legally. He always stands by it. And if other people owe him money, he gives them extensions, and he forgives loans, and he's good to them. He basically doesn't compete with his friend's business. He never makes a person feel bad. The general rule. He should be among those who are being pursued, not the pursuers, meaning he should be a loser. Right? He should allow people to take advantage of him if the choice is, otherwise he takes advantage of them. Min ha-ne'elavim v'lo min ha-olvim. From the people who get insulted, but don't insult other people. Va'adam she'oseh kol ha-ma'asim ha-elu. U'kiyotze bohen, a person who does these and things like it, alav ha-katuv omer, va'yomer li avdi ata Yisrael asher b'cha et po'er. You are my servant, Israel, with in whom I glory. So there's two ways to read this Rambam. That this is what we should all strive for. Or, as he says in the beginning, Masa'u matano shel talmid chacham be'emetu be'emunah. Okay, this is some super standard for someone who considers himself to be a talmid chacham. And by the way, it's interesting. When the Rambam says talmid chacham, he doesn't always mean smart. He doesn't always mean learned. He means a good person. Right? So the Rambam here basically, in the first line, Omer alav lav val hein hein, that's the Gemara that we quoted in number 9, that he's honest all the time. There's a big machlok, is what the Rambam means, that everybody has to be honest all the time in all circumstances. Or no, this is a standard for a Talmid Chacham, but, you know, for a person who's not a Talmid Chacham, so some people say the Rambam wants everybody to be a Talmid Chacham. He just says to you that it's a high standard to aspire to. What he really means, they used to say it's bizarre because they say such evil things about his wife, but what was Helmsley's first name?
Leora?
No, Leona was the wife. Leona, but
Harry.
What's his name? Huh?
Harry Helmsley.
Harry Helmsley. He was apparently a saintly man, and there were all these stories about how he told them the market changed the next day and it cost him money, and that's how you build a reputation. So you could do it because it's good for business, or you could do it, the Rambam says, because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do, you know, you shook hands with the guy. It's not admissible in court. He could never get the money back from you. The Rambam will say, you want to be a Talmud Chacham? You stand by your word. Yes, it costs you money. But imagine a world in which everybody took their other people's selves at their word. So the question is, you know, is it really the case that you have to always be honest? Or, for example, might it be, you know, the end goal will be better served if you lied? That's a strange thing. But like, not just white lies, but lies that eventually, you know, yield something better. There's a famous machlokas in the Gemara. Look at number 11. It's a good machlokas to know. It's a song we sing. Tanu Rabbanan. Keitzad merakdin lifnei hakala. Okay? He doesn't mean what dance steps do you use. It means what's the appropriate way to celebrate a bride. Beit Shammai Omrim Kala Kimochahi. You gotta tell the truth. Right? Whatever you see in her, that's what you say. We'll come back to that. Presumably, Beit Shammai were very honest people. No lying, even at a wedding. What he means is, well, we'll see. Ubeit Hillel Omrim Kala na'eva chasuda. No, you always say kala na'eva chasuda, you know, a beautiful, gracious bride. Now, presumably Beis Hillel knows that not every bride is beautiful. Okay? So is Beis Hillel in favor of lying? What happened to the standard of, you know, yes is yes and no is no and honesty? Amru lahen Beis Shammai le Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel, what are you talking about? Harei shehaita chigeret osuma omrim la kala na'eva chasuda. I don't know, she's missing a limb, she's blind. You say, what a beautiful girl. You know, it's just not true. Not every bride is that way. V'atorah amra, says Beis Shammai to Beis Hillel, midvar sheker tirchak. Stay away from lies. And you're advocating lying. Amru lahem Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, l'divreichem, according to you, mi shalakach mekach ra min hashuk. A person made a bad deal. Okay, he bought a terrible type of car. He overpaid. Yishabchenu be'einav, o yiganenu be'einav. Do you tell him, you know, don't worry, it's a good deal, or do you tell him you're an idiot? Have omer yishabchenu be'einav. Beis Hillel says if he can't do anything about it, right? He says, what type of person are you? A guy comes from a store. He's bought. Let's assume he bought a new suit. And the new suit, he can't return it at all. And he says to you, isn't it a beautiful suit? So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, you would say to the guy, no, it's hideous?
Yeah, you would, because then otherwise he'll go back and buy another one.
So the assumption is, okay, I'll try to use an example where that's not the case. He shows you his bride.
Oh, that's a good
okay?
Yeah.
Right. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, what purpose would be served by saying, you know, she's hideous? That's another word. Okay? What purpose was he said? Mikan amru chachamim la'olam tehei da'ato shadam mu'urevet im habriot. Literally, that means you should be mu'urevet, you should understand people. What it really means is that technical honesty is not the highest standard. Because technical honesty sometimes, you know, leads to hurt feelings and nothing positive. So how do we paskin? Well, it's very clear. Have you ever gone to a wedding where they sing Ketzad Merakim Flin Akala Kala Kamos Shehi? No. They all sing Kala Noeva Chasuda. Because we paskin like Beis Hillel. Now, I was at a wedding where a very mean guy whispered to me during the singing of that song, Kala Kamos Shehi. You know, but he's a very mean guy.
Yimotah Mashiach would say all sacks are going to go according to Beit Shammai.
What's wrong with you? Again,
what it seems like the first 50 minutes of the shiur was really based on being medakdek legamer.
Good.
All of a sudden, we've had a shift here in the Rambam into something that, well, when it comes to for me as a Talmud Chacham, I should be medakdek in terms of what I do for others. But when it comes to there's a double shift.
It's not a double standard. I don't take back anything I said, and I agree with you. Except that I thought the first 50 minutes were excellent. But no. The standard with respect to measurements is absolute. And Bruce asked this question before. Now I'm questioning it. What if you wanted to cheat yourself?
Ah.
Right?
So that's exactly what in Rambam he's
But he doesn't say it with respect to Mishkal. You have to be clear. The Rambam's saying, generally speaking, it's better to lose than to win. That's what the Rambam's saying. And I understand that. But that may not be the same.
He's being lenient with others when it comes to him as opposed to...
So I got
to
tell you, I have doubt. I have no source for this whatsoever. I would worry that, you know, in the weighing process, you lie in favor of the customer. I don't know, because doesn't that also undermine the system?
Exactly.
Right? But I don't think that that's what the Rambam's saying in Hilchos Deos. Maybe I'll get rid of it by saying, the Rambam's saying in Hilchos Deos, Talmid Chacham, if you want to be a Talmid Chacham, right? It's even in the Rambam, it's inconsistent. What's Matanosh of Talmid Chacham, Be'emet u'Be'emunah, right? The business dealings of the Talmid Chacham are Be'emet u'Be'emunah. Well, is that true when you always lose?
I'm saying
right. Even within the same Rambam, is that true?
I think
I think there's a general rule that when you're a customer, if you have to round at some point, you round up and you round down for yourself.
Okay.
Or that there's a level of there's tzedek or there's mishpat, and mishpat is a very kaddish thing by which we have to live
right.
The and the whole thing to regulate and keep the system honest. Mm-hmm. But there's something beyond that, which is tzedek of mishpat, which is even a higher level, which the Talmud Chacham and all of us should be able
agree
to
agree completely. So I would say as follows: there's a din in the Torah that says that in the narrow area of weights and measures, right? It needs to be precise. People need to be able to rely on it. And my sense is that even cheating for the customer is problematic unless it's a gray area, because then the next guy loses. The next guy who's weighing honestly loses all the business because you're cheating, right? I would say in that case the answer is, you know, it's 13 for the price of 12, right? You're very clear up front that this is how you're doing it, that you're giving something away. One second. But that's for the system to work, because if you take seriously the judges thing, I don't want to go to court where judges cheat for poor people. Nobody wants
it's
to rely.
You're supposed to
exactly,
be to the
I'm
poor
saying.
As well as to the
I'm people. Saying that's exactly the point. So why can't you say the same theory? Well, I cheat on my weights and measures in favor of poor people. I think it's usur because the Torah says you're a dayan. But what I think the Rambam is getting to, and what I think this Gemara is getting to, is that don't exaggerate your honesty too far. With respect to weights and measures in business, honesty is the ultimate goal, because otherwise the system falls apart. But that doesn't mean you tell a guy that his wife is ugly, right? Don't expand it so far. The Torah is not telling you that in every circumstance honesty is the answer. The Torah is telling you in this circumstance, in business, in weights and measures, the system will fall apart, otherwise you're playing the role of a judge. You're not playing the role of a judge when your friend comes to you with his new suit or where he introduces you to his new wife. There, Beis Hillel would say, "Be mu'uravim habriot." Okay? I think anybody here who hasn't lied to his parents at some point is a bad child. I think. Okay? Maybe I'm just justifying myself because I just lied to my mother on Shabbos. But it was about food. Okay? Anybody who wouldn't lie sometimes and say this is delicious when it's not, you know, you have to, right? I would say this: there are higher. I have to not put this on the internet. I think my mom might listen. I don't know, but in business, honesty in measuring, honesty is the highest standard, because otherwise the system falls apart. Just like judges can't let personal, right? But in human interactions, we're not supposed to be judges. I think that's the chiddush here. Sometimes the Torah is telling you to play the role of a judge, in which case your personal input and your feelings are worthless. But Beis Hillel says, in the real world, be mu'uravim habriot. Say the right thing that's necessary under the circumstances. And again, if the guy could return it, then maybe the Beis Hillel would say the right thing is to say to him, listen, you know, your suit is hideous. Right, but if he can't return it, then what's the benefit?
Don't we try to make an example with Yaakov Avinu that regarding Esav Lavan, he had to do these things?
No, but I'll give you a better one. It's next week's parsha. That's drushim. The next week's parsha, the brothers say to Yosef, they send a messenger. They say, Avicha tziva lifnei moto leimor. Right, your father commanded you before he died, saying, Ana sana pesha avde achicha vechatatam ki ra'agim malucha. Balkari. Okay. So Chazal say on that pasuk, it's not true, but gadol hashalom, that you could lie. Now, you could argue the brothers had self-interest, whatever, but that is, it's next week's parsha. That's a pasuk. We don't believe that Yaakov ever said that. That has to, by the way, that's tied to the age-old fascinating question. Did Yaakovinu ever know the truth about the story? Mm. Right? Okay, that's a huge, interesting conversation to have this week and next week at the Shabbos table. But Chazal, I can't remember where I saw it, but they point to that pasuk and they say, now, you could say the brothers weren't such with, but they use it to say, sometimes gadol ha-shalom, and we think that's true. We paskin la-alacha, that kalanava chasuda, and gadol ha-shalom, we shouldn't turn into big liars, but we shouldn't be such big tzaddikim with respect to speaking the truth when it hurts people's feelings.
Have a great week.
Thank you, Ellie.
Have the sheep. Yeah.